I want us to go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. The beginning of this year, where was I? Yeah, I was in New York. And I was supposed to be in Washington State, and that it's very rare this happens on the West Coast in January, but the weather shut me down, so I had to go to Washington State dash the Seattle area in February rather than January. So the first place I preached was New York, and God came in a very strong way. It was kind of like what we had here last night, where just I came exhausted and thought I'd preach about 15, 20 minutes, and an hour and a half later, we were still in the presence of God. God broke through, and the storm was averted. Amen? Because there's dominion. And we really had something fresh from the Lord. And here tonight, rather than go part two of something many of you didn't hear part one on, tomorrow evening we'll go part two on the life of Joseph, how it pertains to us now. I want to say that any condition our nation or the church is in can be reversed for the glory of God. We've got to throw out every belief system that crept into Pentecost and into Charismania, I mean the charismatic church, that denies the victory of Calvary. Because let me tell you this, Satan never owned the whole earth or ruled the whole earth before the cross. He definitely is not going to take over anything after the cross. We need to get a revelation of victory. How many want a revelation of victory? And the book of Revelation is not science fiction. The book of Revelation is not the story of the church being removed from the earth and the devil taking over the earth through the Antichrist. That's not the Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto His servant, to show unto them things that would shortly come to pass. May I say, the book of Revelation is about the end of one era, the old covenant, and the birthing of the new covenant, and it's through victory because the blood accomplished what nothing could accomplish under the old covenant. The blood of bulls and goats could not redeem. Are you glad for redemption? Are you glad for redemption? And so I want to say that there is victory that we have to manifest. And I guess I've worked in too many countries that were hopeless, that God's turned around, to think that God can't turn around our nation completely. From the inner city to your city. From your house to the White House. I refuse to say anything but victory. And God raises up kings and puts down kings, the book of Daniel says. And God is not going to give our inheritance over to the ungodly if we as a church will begin to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Here tonight I want to talk about hearing the voice of God, but not just how to do that and the expressions of that. That would be another series. I want to talk about what happens when an unknown gets well known. When God visits not a well known person, God visits a little child in the midst of very demonic environment, an atmosphere that was not just off, it was apostate, an atmosphere. Imagine the priests of Israel were committing immorality with in open sight. They were stealing from the offerings. You wouldn't exactly call that revival. Everything was in a state of decline. And the Bible starts off and says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious, almost non-existent in those days, and there was no open vision. It was not a time of visitation, it was a time of almost a brass heaven. The Bible talks in Deuteronomy 28, it warns Israel, if they moved into certain realms, the heavens would become like brass. Are you glad that the heavens are not brass to us? The heavens are open. Oh, hallelujah. And I just proclaim there's coming a meltdown, and already has begun mightily in the demonic realm in North America. Oh, hallelujah. And here was a kid, and how did he ever get into this ungodly environment? His mother had birthed Samuel through intercession. And may I say, what we birth in prayer is going to be precious, regardless how putrid society is. What we birth in prayer is going to have visitation tagged to it, regardless how close the atmosphere is. Oh, hallelujah. So here was Samuel. Excuse me, I don't like dry preachers. Here was Samuel, stuck in this environment that I wouldn't let my dog live in. I've been a lot of places like that. Once my son drugged me into the mountains of Nepal, the Himalayan mountains, the highest mountains in the world. And it was a hotel. If I had something against someone, I'd send them there. Hallelujah. It was cold, and they had to bring in these butane heaters. That didn't do much good. And then I said, well, at least the bed's comfortable. I woke up in the morning. I said, man, I feel pain all over me. Pulled up my shirt, and here were bed bug bites all over me. So I'd had a visitation at night, all right, but not the type you want. So I've been in those places that I would repent to my dog if I put it there. Hallelujah. Here is a thing we've got to understand. God is not going to be limited by decline. God's not going to be limited by demons. God's not going to be limited by corruption in the priesthood. God's not going to be limited, period. And we've got to get rid of limited thinking and religious positions that allow the enemy to keep us in a state of no vision and no word of the Lord. We've got to be a people that say, that's going to change because, hear me, in this year, God is telling His people, hear from Him, hear from Him, hear from Him. We've got to stop listening to the false prophets. I tell you, we've got to declare voices of the enemy wherever they're going on. Oh, hallelujah. I so love this election cycle. I was called every name in the book on Facebook. Hallelujah. And I enjoyed it. I love to light sticks of dynamite, particularly when they aren't going my direction. Hallelujah. But the voice of the enemy is being silenced in the land. I said the voice of the enemy is being silenced in the land. And that's why there's a rage in the demonic realm going on. Jezebel only got full of rage and wrath when all her prophets were killed. And if you can't see what's going on in the natural, you really need to pray, because I tell you, God's beginning to judge the prophets of Baal. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And like cattle, they don't die quietly. Hallelujah. I just thought I'd say that. So here was Samuel. It was really a circumstance I wouldn't, or atmosphere I wouldn't want my grandkids in, I wouldn't want my kids in, but God would put one of the greatest prophets of Israel in that environment. What was God going to show us out of this? God was going to show us when He speaks to people, He is not going to be limited in that way because of what they're in. Because, hear me, the glory of God from the beginning of time could not be stopped by the rebellion and the sin of man. God has always spoken in every generation, and that's why Revelation 2 and 3 says, let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I don't want to have hearing problems. Now, we had three kids. Jerry and Elaine have had six. Some of you maybe have more or less. I've noticed, at least with mine, they often didn't hear it the first time. They had a way of hearing what they wanted to hear in certain times of their life. Of course, ways of dealing with that. But my goodness, as believers, many times we're not alert to the Spirit. I said many times we're not alert to the Spirit. And that is changing, because I'm going to tell you, the voice of God is not going to be vague. The voice of God's going to be loud and clear. God is going to come to His temple and purify the temple so that the temple reclaims the land. The voice of God is going to be loud and clear. May we have ears to hear, because what made the difference throughout Scripture, Moses was just a shepherd. He heard the voice of God and became a deliverer. Amen. Paul was a persecutor, heard the voice of God and became an apostle. Amos was just a farmer, heard the voice of God and became a prophet. It's not who we are, because if that was a thing, we'd have gone nowhere, all of us. It's who Christ is, and He said, follow me. And part of following God is following the voice of God. And hear me, this is not a thing you get good enough to hear the voice of God. God is good enough to come to you in your sins and need, regardless where you are tonight in Him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your voice. Thank you when things aren't right, you still are, and you're going to make us right. So it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, he's going to bed, and his eyes began to wax dim, and he couldn't see. That was absolutely a prophetic sign that there was a lack of insight and vision in the land. And just before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, Samuel laid down to sleep. Now, there's a truth in that. When you sleep, sleep in the presence of God. So much attack, I've noticed, it comes on people in the night season. Nightmares, fear, trauma, a lot of stuff. But in the Bible, God gave dreams and night visions and divine appearances in the night. May God redeem our sleep by His presence. Because He can speak to us in our dreams. I said He can speak to us in ways we don't even understand in the night. See, Samuel wasn't going to understand what was going on. He needed some mentoring in this. And one of the things God is saying through the body of Christ, if we have ears to hear, older believers need to start mentoring younger believers. Because if we're talking about massive growth that we're going to receive and not lose, let the fish get out of the net, we've got to have hundreds of people ready to mentor and mentor properly. The Bible says, let the older women teach the younger women. Timothy, you are a spiritual son of Paul's. So your sons and daughters will prophesy. So I've checked out, and I'm not against Bible schools. I never went to one because I'd have been thrown out of them. But anyhow, I never went to one. But I've noticed the fruit of most Bible schools is ineffective. You know why? You can learn all the information till you get out the door and reality faces you. And you find out the saints sometimes are the ain'ts in certain places. And you find out what you were taught in a classroom may not work with your kids. May not work with the people of God. In other words, if it's not proven, you've got some real lessons coming. Hallelujah. And I'll give you an example. Before I was married, I can't believe this, I did marriage counseling. No, I didn't cause any divorces. I stopped a lot of them. Hallelujah. And I had all the answers till I got married. Then I threw out all those theories because what worked for others wasn't going to work for me. Then I could tell everybody how to raise their kids. And I love to take kids that no one else could manage and make them manage, because I was thrown out of 5 schools and thrown out of the nation of Holland by the police 10 times. So I had a background and I had only one motto: I will win. That was before all the laws changed to abet destruction of the youth in our country. And never, by the grace of God, did I lose a child. The ones that were headed to prison, never lost one. But then I had my own children. And all those good ideas and tremendous tactics started falling apart. I remember once saying, David, you need to stop bothering your sisters, teasing your sisters. I was getting on him. And then I heard a voice, look in the mirror. Oh, he had a generational impartation. Think about that. But anyhow, we got a lot of things that we haven't learned from the presence of God. But this is very clear in this portion of Scripture. Samuel laid down in the presence of God. That ark was so supernatural in this time that when David would move this ark one day, if it was moved wrong, you would die. But here was a little kid. He had something special was in him. He could sleep right by the ark that would kill Uzziah, and it would be a place that God would meet him. Now, you wouldn't think a prophet would be developed in an atmosphere where there was gross immorality and gross corruption, but I got good news for you. Grace is stronger than sin. Light is stronger than darkness. Peace is stronger than war. Love is stronger than hate. We've got to begin to have a positive God consciousness that we don't blow up how great the enemy, but we magnify the Lord how great He is. Because the enemy, if he can get me or you into a negative mentality, we will become useless to build the kingdom of God. Negative. People are negative about America, and negative about this, and negative about health, and negative about the church. When the Bible says whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things of good report, any praise, think on these things. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. May God make us a people that believe in and live the good news. See, Ezekiel, do you see that cemetery? Yeah, everybody's dead. Well, God said, open your mouth and prophesy to those bones. There's time that we need to start prophesying to the bones of this present society. Live again. I said, live again. So here was a little prophet going to be developed. All right. He was going to sleep. Verse 4, the Lord said, Samuel. And he answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and he said, here I am. You called me. And he said, I didn't call you. Go lie down. He laid down again. Now I want to say this. Many times God's speaking and we don't recognize it. Because God's not limited to speak just this way. He can speak in a multiplicity of ways, both that are very supernatural and also very natural. When I was just a young believer, and I didn't have a chance to go from a young convert to ministry, I went from salvation right into ministry. I wouldn't recommend that. Hallelujah. Notice the absence of hair. But I wouldn't recommend that. That's how God did it for me. But I remember, I don't even know where it was. I think somewhere in the United States, Joan and I had just been married. We've been married 43 years. Hallelujah. And I was having a prayer time, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw a magazine. I didn't want to be distracted, but I opened my eyes, and I saw that magazine. It was a very spiritual magazine by the name of National Geographic. And on its cover was Bhutan, this Himalayan mountain nation that was just opened up in 1970, either 71 or 73 to the world for the first time in its history. You couldn't get in before. It opened up, and this is what rose up in me. I thought it was just me. I want to thank God 40 years later we went there and we've been a part of the first revival movement in the history of Bhutan. God speaks to us in unusual ways, and we got to get out of the box this year because God's going to be speaking in ways we can understand. Amen. And when we don't want to hear Him, that really doesn't turn Him off. Adam, Adam, where are you? He's going to find us wherever we are. Amen. If He has to speak to you in the belly of a whale, He did pretty good with Jonah. If He has to speak to you and call you out of death, He's done that with quite a few people through church history. The wonderful thing about the voice of God, we don't find Samuel, though he was beginning to respond to the presence of God, we don't find him in tune with God. God was in tune to him. You didn't call me, I called you. You didn't find me, I found you. Here's the good news. We don't find God, God finds us. We don't want God, God wants us. That's called grace. Now, the mistake a lot of Pentecostal people do, grace is fine until you get saved. Then it becomes the works of the flesh. It becomes your effort. It becomes your religiosity. If you sin, you have to hide that because you're supposed to be holy. And that way of thinking is demonic because that's like Adam and Eve wearing their fig leaves. God who began a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. God doesn't go on a vacation. God keeps working and working and working to get us where we're supposed to be. And the voice of God, hear me, I've had Christians, I don't recognize the voice of God. God doesn't speak to me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God is speaking to you. Maybe you don't recognize it yet. Maybe you think it's just your brother, your sister, your mother. But God is speaking to you in different ways and different fashions. I've had God speak to me through unsaved people. Oh, hallelujah. Come to me through unsaved people. Example, I was going to Alaska once, and I had this carnal vision. There's this restaurant in Juneau. They catch this wonderful salmon, and 2 hours later it's on your plate. And it's fresh beyond fresh, so that was going through my carnal mind. And I went to the airport, and the man looked at me. You aren't going to like this. I said, why? He said, there's bad weather coming out of Alaska today. Therefore, you're going to miss, the flight's going to be late here. You're going to miss your flight in Seattle, on and on and on. I began to think, no, I don't like that. I'm going to miss all my plans that I had for today. So I got there and getting on this airplane. I was so exhausted. Everything was off. I'd hardly slept the night before. Here was my tremendous prayer. God, don't let anybody sit next to me. Thank you. Amen. So the plane was about ready to take off, and I said, God has heard my cry. Hallelujah. I'm going to rest. The last moment, it must have been less than 3 minutes, The door was just almost going to be shut, and here comes this businesswoman. Man, she had like half her apartment with her. She had a couple suitcases and a computer, and there was a few places left on that plane, and I, in my flesh, I said, let her sit there. Guess where she was going to sit? By me. And I put on the plastic Christian smile high. Please sit down. Is it all right if I sit down? Oh, yes, sit down. And she sat her little carcass down. And that dear woman, the minute she sat down, we opened our mouths and we talked 4 hours nonstop. Because it was two stops from Seattle to Juneau. It was they call it the milk run, because by the end of it, you're milked. Hallelujah. And with all these little communities landing in. And she was well-to-do businesswoman and was high into New Age, asking me all these stupid questions, started yelling at me, don't you judge me, da-da-da. I said, I'm not judging you. It's what the Bible says. It's what you think the Bible says. I said, read it. And she was like really shaken up. And we got off the plane and we're getting off the plane. I'll never forget this, because we got a decent relationship by the end of the flight after she got yelling out of her system. But she looked at me and said, I'm going to come hear you tomorrow. Her name was Rachel. I thought, yeah, right. Got off the plane. Here was the pastor. I said, this is Rachel. She wants to come to church. He told her where. So I got there a little late. I'll never forget coming in that building. I'm over the side like this. I looked over. Hi, Bill! She had absolutely no church manners. Right when the worship service was starting, I dropped down in my chair. I preached. Not the best service. People went home. I went out, came back. I was doing some stuff. And there she was. There was Rachel sitting there. She said, you already know this. She said, I'm sure God has shown you. She said, I'm Jewish. And my father became a born again just before he died. It destroyed my parents' marriage. My mother divorced him. On and on and on. I said, Rachel, Jesus didn't destroy your parents' marriage. Your mother's rebellion against the Word of God did. And Rachel ended up receiving Christ right there. You see, I didn't understand all that shutting of doors and all that chaos was the voice of God to me. You got this plan, but I got this plan. You think you're going to go here, you're going to go there. And many times the voice of God can be in circumstances. And we can be praying against circumstances all we want. If Father's engineering it, it's not going to turn out the way you think it is. Hallelujah. Goodbye, salmon, but there was a fisher of men that day. Hallelujah. Well, Rachel, I'll never forget that. Rachel. So on and on and on. The time I was coming back from, I think it was Vietnam or Cambodia, I prayed, Lord, is there anyone for me to reach? No, no, no. Got to Los Angeles, tired beyond measure. Took the last flight from Los Angeles to Sacramento, where my dear wife picks me up and drives me a half hour to go home. I sat down, and all of a sudden, here comes a young lady. She excused me, and she sat next to me. We started talking. She'd lost one marriage. She was in the midst of another abusive relationship. Notice how those demons work, from one devil to the next. Curse. I said, we got to break that curse. Don't marry Bozo. Marry Boaz. Hallelujah. Real revelation on that one. But anyhow, here we're on this plane, and I'm minding my own business, and I start talking to this girl just for a few minutes. I was so exhausted, my thoughts weren't even with me. But I start talking to her. At the end, we're getting close to where we're going to be landing before long, about a half hour. I said, excuse me, would you like prayer? She said, yes, under one condition. I said, well, what's that? Don't pray for me like they do for people on television. I said, well, how do they do that? And without saying it, without me saying yes or whatever, she reached over. She said, like this. So she'd seen the Pentecostal circuses. Hallelujah. I promised her I wouldn't do that, though I felt like this type of person. Anyhow. But I said, well, I haven't yet heard, you didn't yet tell me your name. What's your name before I pray for you? Notice this. She said, my name is Rachel. I keep running into Rachel. God's saying something in that. I said, God's saying something in that. Rachel was the favored wife of Jacob, the mother of Joseph. There's times we learn the voice of God in ways it takes us time to really grasp the full meaning and understanding of it. May I say, you're going to meet Rachel whether you like it or not. Whether your plans are altered and my plans are altered. And some of these people aren't as dumb as we think they are. They know more about us than sometimes we know about them. And we've got to be really sensitive to follow the leading of the Spirit of God, that we don't turn them off, but we turn them on to Jesus. So here is Samuel. He didn't know what was going on. And may I say this, if you don't know what's going on, have no fear, God does. Just thought I'd say it. You can be confident that the voice of God is going to lead you and speak to you, even if you don't recognize it initially. It's going to happen this year. There's going to be a breakthrough in hearing the voice of God in the body of Christ. And in certain things, hear me, you don't need other people telling you the voice of God. You need to recognize the voice of God for yourself. For example, I was in Volgograd, Russia, what was called before Stalingrad, the worst battle in the history of mankind. 2 million people were killed in 6 months' time. That's intense. A number of them froze to death because the weather went down to 50 below zero for weeks at a time. And so I'm in a place like that, and you can still feel the remains of the spiritual remains of such darkness. And the pastor told me, I have a man in the church. He came to me one day and said, God told me to go talk to one of the top mafia people in this city. Russian mafia will kill you rather than look at you. And he said to this man who told him, God told me to go talk to this mafia leader. He said, well, what are you coming to me for if God told you to do that? He said, because I'm afraid. Well, he prayed for him and sent. And now he went to this mafia man, and the man was totally open to receive the gospel, tragically didn't, and was killed that year. When you hear from God, you're safe. I said, when you hear from God, you're safe. Do you want to hear from God? Do you want to be led of the Spirit? You want to know the voice of God? Because where we're going, it's not a good idea to hear the voice of God. It's life or death. Where we're going as church leaders, we cannot stand up here and tell people this is what we're doing unless we can honestly say, "It's God has told me to do that. God has told me to lead you this way." We cannot afford to get in spiritual battles ignorantly. We got to be hearing correctly from God. Because now I'm working in places like Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran. I cannot play games. I cannot go by other people's techniques. I cannot move in fleshly Christianity where people are building buildings and not building lives. I want to be hearing from God correctly and in an in-depth way, because there's too much to lose when we're just hanging around and a part of things that God's not blessing anymore. And just because it works for some other church doesn't mean it's going to work for you. We cannot duplicate the mantle of someone else. We got to put on our own coat of many colors. We've got to be hearing from God in this generation, because the leaders that are going to be used in this generation are going to be like Joshua. They knew how to lead people into war with no casualties. And it's parents, we got to be hearing from God. You know, some parents let their kids pull around by the nose, even when they leave home. Or is that only us? Anyhow, we've got to really break through in this matter. Hearing from God. I said hearing from God. It's the difference between those that are going to go on in the Spirit and those that will just be spectators. Or tragically, at times, those that will be casualties. So here was Samuel. And the Lord called him yet again. Samuel! And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. He said, I didn't, my son, lie down. And Samuel didn't yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed to him. Now this is the thing about the voice of the Lord. God starts speaking to us long before we recognize Him. Long before we know Him, God has been working in our lives. If I'd give you my story, it was so supernatural, being in a wealthy home that was so demonic. Do you know wealthy homes can be demonic too? There's the down and outers and there are up and outers. I'm not sure which is worse. But in the midst of that, God started working in my life. And I didn't know why until decades later, when I was saved, God finally gave me an answer. But God started working, and here I was in all type of evil, drugs and immorality and being thrown out of these schools, and sovereignly and supernaturally, God saved my mother, and that was bad enough at that time. But what was worse, I got on her most wanted list.
Hallelujah.
And she was real nasty. She got all these intercessors, and two other intercessors entered into covenant with her to pray 5 years around the clock till I bowed my knees to Christ. In the midst of that running from God, my mother started putting things in my room. Full Gospel, businessmen, magazines, all these tracts, and I'd tear them up and say things I won't repeat. But there was one book I didn't tear up. It was called The Cross and Switchblade by David Wilkerson. And Cross and Switchblade, well, I got in a lot of trouble with knives. I wondered, what's this all about? And I opened up and read it, and I remember coming under deep conviction. I didn't know what conviction was. But there, that was in Belgium. Can you believe it? Here I'm in a Swiss school. We're stoned on drugs. And do you think God's going to be stopped by anything we do when He wants to get through to us? Here was the darkest, one of the darkest times of Israel during the judges. And here I'm stoned on drugs one night. God had already visited me once with the greatest visitation I ever have had in my life before I knew Him. But here I come out stoned out of my mind on morphine, having smoked marijuana, so I was up in the clouds. And I come out of this basement theater, and we watched a movie. It was me and two other Hispanic guys, the only three drug users in this whole Swiss boarding school. We were knit together by demons. But anyhow, come out of that movie, and right up in the sky were three crosses. That was the second time it happened. And I screamed, "Get out of here!" to the other two. They thought I was having a bad drug experience, bad trip, whatever. They fled, and I heard an audible voice, one of the few times I have in 45 years walking with God. You know what it said? "Go to New York Teen Challenge." And I wouldn't do it. 3 years later, almost dead, the police took me to New York Teen Challenge. I know the voice of God comes to people before they know Him, before they want Him, before they're experiencing Him. And may I say this, God's beginning to speak very loud to the heathens in North America. Oh yes, I said, God's beginning to speak very loud, because there's revival coming to this land. There's a visitation coming to this land, and it's going to be by the voice of God. Years ago in East Europe, when God came to me in a spiritual dream, and I woke up, the hair on my arms was standing up. And in this dream, God said, "Revival is coming to North America." And in the same dream, there was Ronald Reagan. And I said, "Lay hands on me for a visitation." He was a very humble man. He'd been dead many years. It was symbolic. And I tell you, there's a Reagan-like qualities coming on a particular leader in North America right now, our present president. If we can't recognize that, we're spiritually blind. Something's going on in the spirit world. Our nation is being set up for revival. And it doesn't matter if people don't recognize the voice of God. God knows how to get through to us. I said, God knows how to get through to us. Between those three crosses in the sky and me having to go to Teen Challenge, I was in Switzerland. I was in the basement of this particular Swiss chalet. I don't know how this happened. I'm going through all these books. You know, I'm just looking around, being nosy. And can you believe it? In the midst of this chalet, here was a copy of The Cross and the Switchblade. Don't tell me the voice of God doesn't hound you. The voice of God doesn't go after you. The voice of God isn't persistent. I'm glad for the voice of God, because hear me, God wants to teach us before we know Him that He is a communicating God to broken humanity. You say, well, that person's an alcoholic. God can get through to alcoholics. That person's a drug addict. God can get through to drug addicts. That person's a homosexual. God can get through to homosexuals. That person's a religious spirit. God can get through to religious spirits. The voice of God, is Psalm 29, is powerful. Are you glad for the powerful voice of God? This is not the voice of man. This is the voice of God that's coming this year. Samuel, Samuel! And the Lord called Samuel a third time, and he rose, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am. You called me." Notice, there was something in this little child that was responsive and obedient and open to do what he heard. Could that be why the voice of God's come to so many people, and then after a season it begins to dim because they've got their plans so intact that they're unwilling to be sensitive to what the Spirit is saying? And Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. Or no, and he rose and went to Eli. He said, you called me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Finally, Eli, and his word means lofty, and he was in such compromise. He wasn't in sin. He just wouldn't bring order, and he wouldn't bring his kids into order. And may I say this, we've got to have enough guts in this generation to bring order into a lawless world. And it's going to need the voice of God to do that, because lawlessness doesn't like to be tamed. That's what's rising up in North America right now. Lawlessness. I live my life like I want to live my life, and if anyone tells me I'm wrong, I react. Because who is someone else to judge me living like the devil? They don't. Not what they'll say. But who's someone else to not be tolerant with my sins? All right. Now hear the Lord. Samuel said, go lie down. Notice this, verse 9. Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. If it be, if when he'll call you, you'll say, speak, Lord, for your servant is heareth. Or speak, Lord, I'm listening. May God find a people here, there, and everywhere in his body that are really hearing what the Spirit is saying. Because, dear ones, as true as anything I've ever told you, God is going to be speaking to his people this year. I was in the middle of Russia, and I was having such wonderful fellowship with the Russian government. I was under city arrest. This was in, when was it? In November. And it was very cold, and it was my fourth major encounter in 18 years with the Russian, or 17 years with the Russian government. And this was a big one because I'd been thrown out for 6 years, and they're getting ready to throw me out again. Someone else had just been thrown out for what I did, evangelizing, preaching the gospel, praying for people, on and on, because of the new laws, anti-religion laws in Russia. In the midst of all that, I had peace in my heart, but my mind was, have you ever had peace in your heart, but your mind's racing like a freight train? I mean, it was going on. And getting a lot of people to pray really made a difference. Thank you for your prayers. Because we ended up winning. And the charges were thrown out of court. And the judge stood with us and against the KGB and against the Russian government. Thanks be to God for miracles. But I'll tell you why it was so important to hear from God in the midst of all that. When top leaders said, you're going to be deported. It just happened. And this is going to be happening. And this is going to be happening. And your churches can be fined for as much as $17,000. And that would be like $170,000 here. It was just a huge, huge attack in the very city where Lenin, the founder of the Soviet Union, was born. And we'd had such a miraculous move of the Spirit. It was a demonic reaction. In the middle of that, I heard a voice. Samuel, Samuel. And the voice said this, you're going to win this court case, and it's a sign to you that Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. Wow. I wasn't praying about American politics. I was in my own fix over there. But God spoke that. The next day we went in there, and the judge said to those police and government people, she said, what you've charged this man with is utter confusion. I won't hear it in my court. Thank you, Jesus. When you hear from God, you're victorious. When you hear from God, you can laugh at cancer. When you hear from God, you can laugh at that heart that's not working. When you hear from God, you can laugh at what the devil's trying to do. Because you've heard, that makes you the majority. And that's why, dear people, you got to stop playing games. You got to get on your face and say, God, speak, I'm listening. You're not going to hear it. Someone that walks with you is going to give you a confirming word, and then you're going to hear it later. Sometimes it could be a prophetic word. Other times it may not be a prophetic word. Sometimes it'll be a scripture that pops off the pages. Sometimes it will be circumstances that line up. But I tell you, I'm not like little Samuel, because at that stage, I recognized most of the time the voice of God. And when God spoke to Samuel, he came and stood and called as of the other times and said, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, your servant is hearing." Hey, I want to tell you this. God wants to speak and stand over your life and be so plain to your heart that you know what's going on in the spirit world, because Jesus said to the Jews, "You have ears, but they hear not. You got eyes, but they see not." My God, I want eyes that see and ears that hear. Speak into my life, Lord. I'm not going to walk through the wilderness not knowing what's going on. I'm not going to listen to the counsel of the ungodly. I'm going to be hearing from heaven this year. I'm going to walk. I'm going to talk. I'm going to move. I'm going to experience the voice of God. Be blessed. We're in the presence of God. We've got to grow and our ability to listen to God and to hear God. And the youngest convert here and the oldest believer here can get very skilled in hearing from God. Because if I've ever told you anything accurate, I'm telling it now. This is a season to hear God. This is a season to have the voice of God coming to you, Samuel, when you're by the ark of God. It's a time for God to arise in His people with the voice of the Lord. And it says in 1 Samuel 3 verse 19, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let none of His words fall to the ground." What was God telling us here? There is accuracy hearing the voice of God. When you get accurate, and no one is 100% accurate, but we're growing in accuracy. God wants accuracy in the business world. Stop looking at her. Listen to the voice of God. Don't give the devil place, please. There is accuracy in the business world. There's accuracy in the medical world. There's accuracy in the political world. There's accuracy in the family. There's accuracy in the church. God wants that Samuel anointing to come upon you, that none of your words fall to the ground. Accuracy, authority, breakthrough through the voice of God. Hallelujah. Samuel, you started off as a little child. You started off in an ungodly environment. Samuel, what made you a prophet? You heard the voice of God. And what's going to make you profitable? What's going to make you powerful? My God, there's so many people in Pentecostal and charismatic churches that are weak because they don't know the voice of God. They don't have an accuracy in the Spirit. But those days, God's getting ready to change. Samuel grew. We're going to grow. Yes. And the Lord was with him. There's coming an intimacy. And none of our words are going to fall to the ground. Can we give him praise? Can we give him praise? I said, can we give God praise? The voice of God in 2:17. Loud and clear. So may your attitude be, "Speak, Lord. Your servant's hearing. Your servant's listening. Like Mary, be it unto me according to your word." And those in the book, both men and women, that God used were hearing the voice of God constantly and accurately. I tell you, God wants us to hear Him in the restaurant. I was once in Nepal, and I was very tired. Came in the foyer of the hotel, and they had a bar there, and I saw this broken man sitting at the bar, and God said, "Go sit next to that man." He was downing his sorrows in scotch, and I went over and dealt with his scotch by the Spirit of God. Amen? And I said to him, "How you doing?" He said, "Who are you?" And I told him. And we started talking. And you know what the good news was? That guy in his whole life, he was from England. His wife had just walked out on him. He was a mountaineering guy. He was going to go to Mount Everest. And he had never in his whole life heard the gospel. If I'd said, "Well, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I can't be seen at a bar and all around. Hear me, I don't care what anybody says. If God's voice said, go talk to someone in a drug den, in a bar, in an ashram, a Hindu temple, a Muslim mosque, when we follow the voice of God, we're going to be helping people. And when we're following our own likes and dislikes, we're going to be failures. Why do churches die? They cease hearing the voice of God. Why do churches not progress? They're not hearing from God. And this is the good news. When we are sensitive and say, speak, Lord, we want God to speak, He sees our desire. And even before we desired Him, He's been working. Because years after I was in the ministry, I got a letter from somewhere in Mississippi where my father grew up. And I don't know anyone there. I went there as a little kid one time and that was enough. Thank you, Jesus. But anyhow, I don't know anyone there. But this was this letter from a distant cousin. Oh, I'm so glad to hear you're a preacher. Your great-great aunt, so forth, prayed God would raise up ministers in our family line. You see, there was a cry in Israel for God to restore prophets. There weren't any. But in an instant of time, God would come to a little boy who was in darkened circumstances. He was in an evil religious system. Still, when the voice of God came to Samuel, history changed forever. It changed forever. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh and revealed Himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. We end with this. 1 Samuel 4, verse 1. And the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. I was in a church and a guy who was a Nazarene, he preached a nice little message. And I said, your message was great this morning. And you know what he said? It wasn't my word, it was God's. Well, that's true, but not true. Notice this. Wasn't the word of God. It says the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. What happened? God's word and Samuel's life became one. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Elijah, as the Lord God lives before whom I stand, no rain these years or dew according to my word. You see, Moses, stretch forth your hand. Moses, speak to these people, they go forth. God wants people that will be in partnership with Him, that their voice becomes God's voice, that their actions becomes God's actions, that their union with Him is so trusted, like when God took the animals to Adam, whatever Adam called the animals, God said, that's what they are. Partnership with the voice of God. So as we close tonight, may I say this, the enemy got stirred up. Why? Because the voice of God is going to be loud and plain to 217 to those that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. To the church. My son had horrible asthma. He couldn't run. He wasn't like other kids. And one night, the word of the Lord came to him in a church service. He danced for 2 hours nonstop with all these crazy manifestations. Someone came over and said, peace, peace. He told him to get lost. He said it was God. He danced 2 hours nonstop till his face was beet red. The end of his dance, he had no more asthma. And he heard the voice of God when he had a full scholarship to go to a university. He had high marks. He was the only Christian with a 4.0 average in a junior college. He had a scholarship offered to him. But he heard the prophets when they prophesied to him, you are called to the nations. And he said goodbye and went. Dear people, we got to get very serious to follow the voice of God. You need to know it's God. Whether I give you a prophecy or whoever gives you a prophecy, you need to know when you get something, when you hear a voice, that it's truly God's voice. But I tell you, when God speaks to you loud and clear, when you know the voice of God, dash the will of God, you are outside of the limitations of Satan. When God speaks, that's a majority. When God tells you, buy that building, start that ministry, go to that nation, plant those churches, in the voice of God, there's the victory of God. In the voice of God, there's the miracles of God. It's so vital that we get back majoring on the voice of God. It's so vital because what it's going to take this land out of corruption and perversion are the Samuels that hear the voice of God. Do you want to be in the Samuel company? Samuel, come forth in this generation like never before, hearing the voice of God, young and old together. See, Elijah needed Elisha, or all that Elijah built was going to die. But Elisha needed Elijah, or there'd be no mantle or no impartation. That's young and old working together, and that's why there's such a battle to destroy generational unity. May the Spirit of God come on this church, and may we have proper discernment. I end with this because I think it's vital to know this. There was a young girl in my son's church. She's a wonderful girl, grew up in hell, abuse and everything. She's 3 languages. She's very smart, and she's in the business world. But there was a guy from Nigeria. How many get those scam letters from Nigeria? Anyone? How you can be rich and just give them your bank account number and Social Security. And if you do that, you need deliverance and healing both. But anyhow, she was in communication with this girl, this guy, excuse me, from Nigeria. And he told her personal things about her life that no one could know. Try the spirits whether they be of God. And so I came in with another prophet, and we prophesied over you. There's this man that's been in contact with you, and he's telling you personal things about your life, and he claims it's God, but it's the devil. That man wasn't speaking by the Spirit of God. He was speaking by demonic spirits, divination and witchcraft. And when she confronted him, he became all ungodly with his speech. Because I tell you this, the voice of God can be tested. God says, prove me now. Come, let us reason together. When God speaks, whether it's prophetically or from the Word, God is not offended when you look for a confirmation, because out of the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, we need each other to avoid wrong direction. And whenever I have a lot of pastor friends, when they say, I've heard from God, and I begin to challenge them and they get upset, hear me, I know they haven't heard from God, because the wisdom that comes from above is peaceful. When I hear from God, you can challenge me all you want, and I'll talk about it, but then if I have that supernatural peace, I'm going to do it and send you a letter from the other side of the world that it's done. Hallelujah. But when people are threatened and they claim they've heard from God, they haven't heard from God. That's just insecurity that they're hearing. And I've had a lot of people, God told me to do this. I said, but Scripture. No, God told me. Particularly when it's marrying some idiot. God told me. I'll pray for you. You're going to need it, honey. Then months or years later, they come crawling in the office. It wasn't God. Duh. Well, we got to stop playing games with this. Samuel became a prophet and delivered Israel because when no one else was listening, he did. May we major on hearing the voice of God. I want to tell you, whether you've never had an education, whether you live in the projects, whether you're white, black, mixed race, regardless who you are, if you're born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, the voice lives in you. Have ears to hear what He's saying. Please, please major on the voice of God, because big churches will be built out of this ministry. New places you're going to out of this ministry. New communities way outside of Arkansas are going to have works planted eventually because the voice of God's going to lead you there. There'll be a Macedonia call. Europe got the gospel because Paul got a Macedonian call in the middle of the night. May God make us sensitive day and night to His voice. Because I tell you, I'm always learning, because there's new experiences in the voice of God beyond what we understand right now. Amen. Because I don't want to see anything weird start. But I've heard of accounts in Indonesia when they had a great revival, that God broke the curse over creation and He spoke through birds on trees, audible voices to people. You see, in the days before the fall, creation, all of creation, could communicate with each other. And when God for a moment decided to lift that, ignorant people on jungle evangelistic meetings, going through the jungle, would hear birds singing the praises of God. Now, I've never experienced that. Hallelujah. But I'm open as long as it doesn't deny the Scripture. As long as it doesn't make me weird or weirder. Hallelujah. Are you open for the supernatural? Or are we going to stay in our little minds, in our little boxes? Because I tell you, the voice of God's getting ready to blow things open. The voice of God's going to change America. Starting in the church. Samuel, Samuel. So, Elaine, you weren't altogether off when you talked about obeying the voice of God tonight, because I didn't tell her what I was going to preach. Hallelujah. Samuel, a little kid with no salvation experience yet. It didn't stop God from speaking to him and revealing Himself to him, making him one of the greatest prophets of all time. See, Samuel was born out of a miracle from intercession of Hannah. And you say, why? Because this little kid raised in a religious apostasy, God's hand was on him to protect him. And Samuel would be the prophet that would raise up the school of the prophets in Israel. He'd raise up the prophetic order in Israel, and he would be the prophet that would anoint King David. He carried such a governmental anointing that the Philistines could never invade Israel during his reign as prophet and judge. At the end of his life, he said, "Have I ever taken any bribe?" He lived a pure, godly life. And he was the voice of God to that nation. And I end with this. God just doesn't want to speak to you his voice. God wants to make you his voice to the ungodly. Things I would have never done years before. I go on prayer times walking around this big park near where I live. And I've had East Indians, those are Sikhs, guys with big turbans, join me. And I'm praying in tongues and they're praying in Urdu to whoever they're praying to. And they come to me for prophecy, and some of them aren't yet saved, but they do exactly what I tell them to do, and God's worked miracles for them. Because I want to tell you this, when you're breaking into a people that have been in slavery for hundreds of years, they need enough supernatural proof that you're right and they're wrong. Amen. And God is drawing those people, and they come to me for prophecy. Some of them were going to be thrown out of the United States and their kids taken away from them over phony abuse charges. And I gave them prophecies what to do, and God turned the whole thing around. Are you glad? God wants to be the voice of God through us to the ungodly. Oh, hallelujah. Guy knew was in business. And after he gave the owner of this big corporation the word of the Lord a few times, he would be sitting at his desk. They let him do what he wanted. Just pray. That's what, imagine, it's unsaved people. Just pray and hear from God for us. That's what they told him in their own vocabulary. One day he's sitting at the desk and a piece of paper comes under the door. What does Jesus have to say about this, this, this? And that guy would get the word of the Lord for that corporation. His whole job assignment was pray and hear from Jesus on the decisions we must make. And the company prospered. This can't stay in the church. If we just hear the voice of God around this, it's too small. God wants us to hear the voice of God about all of life. Amen? People in the scientific community are going to hear the voice of God. People in government are going to and are hearing the voice of God. People in this region are hearing and are going to hear the voice of God. 2:17, speak, Lord, I'm listening. There's a supernatural coming to hear the voice of God. Amen. 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 Amen! Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Please don't resist the Holy Spirit. Please give yourself to prayer and breakthrough till you hear from God. Because I'm alive today because my parents heard the voice of God that I was to be a preacher. I'm going where I'm going to other nations, not just to go there. I've heard the voice of God to go there. And I won't go there till I do hear the voice of God. It's in business decisions, in home decisions. Pray through till you know God. And as church leadership, get very serious because there's major changes coming to this ministry. You got to hear God's voice. You got to know this is not what works for Gateway or Tommy Barnett or whoever, Reinhard Bonnke. It may work for them, but it works for them because they've heard the voice of God. Following someone else and trying to imitate their mantle is a guarantee that things are not going to work. Because what's going to work here is going to work because it's personalized to you by the voice of the living God. May God come upon this church with a supernatural response in sensitivity to the Spirit of God. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. And the Lord will stand over you and speak as he spoke to Samuel. And he raised him up so that none of his words did fall to the ground. And the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. May the Spirit of God release the prophetic realm in a personalized way to your lives for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Give him praise tonight. Give God praise. Give God praise!